Hi, this is Pastor Matt, and I want to welcome you to our Blue Oaks Church podcast. At the end of this episode, feel free to download our Blue Oaks Church app, where you'll be able to access resources, events, and ways to get connected at Blue Oaks and in the community. The app is the easiest way to share this content with a friend, and it's the easiest way to keep up with everything going on around Blue Oaks. Most importantly, though, I just hope that you enjoy this episode and it inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey.
Well, good morning. You know, every December, something almost mystical happens, even in the Bay Area. People who haven't thought about God in 11 months suddenly start playing songs about him in their Teslas. And at Target, you can hear, "Oh, come let us adore him," playing right next to a plastic reindeer that lights up when you walk by. Something happens in this season that just tugs at our hearts. It's like beneath all the lights and the parties and the Amazon deliveries, something ancient is whispering, "Come home." And maybe that's why Christmas, more than any other time of the year, has the power to awaken something spiritual in each of us. It's the season when, even for a few short weeks, the world just slows down long enough to wonder if there's more to life than deadlines and soccer games and the next thing on our calendar. The prophet Isaiah said it like this: 700 years before Jesus was born, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Four names that would reveal everything we need to know about God. Four truths that speak to the deepest longings of the human heart. This Christmas, we're going to spend the next several weeks exploring these names, because they're not just poetic titles from an ancient prophet. These are promises from God. Each one reveals something about the kind of Savior Jesus is and the kind of hope that he brings to people like you and me. When life feels confusing, he is a wonderful counselor. When we feel powerless, he's a mighty God. When we feel alone, he's an everlasting Father. When the world just feels so chaotic, he is the Prince of Peace. So each week, we'll unwrap one of these names and discover what it means to let that part of Jesus come alive in us this Christmas. And maybe that subtle pull that keeps, that you keep feeling this time of the year that Isaiah spoke of, that fragile hand of a baby in a manger reaching out across history, reaching out to you, maybe that's drawing you back to God. All right, so let's start today with the first name, Wonderful Counselor. You know, in ancient times, names weren't random. They were chosen to reflect a person's character or a person's destiny. So when Isaiah said the Messiah would be called Wonderful Counselor, he's saying, this is someone whose wisdom will astonish you. Someone whose insight will be so deep and so divine that it will change your life. And I think we all know what it's like to need good counsel. We live in a world that's overflowing with advice, like podcasts and Instagram posts and YouTube gurus and 12-point plans for everything from decluttering your garage to finding a soulmate. Yet somehow, despite all the advice, we've never been more anxious or confused or exhausted. Maybe what we need this Christmas isn't more advice. Maybe we need to find the right counselor. Maybe we need the voice that cuts through the noise and just helps us to see clearly again. You know, names can be confusing sometimes. I met someone once whose parents named her Alexa. Can you imagine what it would be like at dinner at their home? Every time someone said her name, music started playing. But in the ancient world, names weren't clever or trendy. They were prophetic. They said something about who you would become. And so when Isaiah said the Messiah's name would be Wonderful Counselor, he was declaring that God himself would come, not as a distant, silent deity, but as a wise and compassionate counselor who would speak into the questions of our lives. And so here's the question I want you to reflect on as we kind of enter into this Christmas season. Whose counsel are you following right now? Because every one of us is building our life on someone's advice, someone's version of the truth, someone's definition of success, someone's sense of what matters most in this life. And this Christmas, I believe Jesus wants to whisper to you and to me that there is a better way. I believe he wants to become for you and for me what he promised he would be, a wonderful counselor. When Isaiah said he would be called wonderful counselor, the Hebrew word he used for wonderful meant beyond comprehension. It's not just really good at giving advice. It literally means extraordinary or miraculous or astonishing. And the word counselor was used for someone who guided kings. So a trusted strategist, an advisor who would see what others couldn't see. And so together, those words mean a counselor whose wisdom is way beyond human understanding. Isaiah was saying that when Jesus came, he would bring wisdom from another realm. He would bring divine perspective for people who can't find their way. You've probably noticed we live in the most informed generation in history, and also maybe the most confused. We have access to more knowledge than any other civilization before us. I mean, if you need to fix your finances, there are 10 million videos for that. If you want to know what diet to follow, there are 10 million more videos for that, all contradicting each other. You mean you could ask at ChatGPT a question and it'll give you an answer that sounds so confident, even if it's wrong. We've got data, advice, research, algorithms, experts, and anxiety and division and burnout are all at all-time highs. So it's no wonder that when Isaiah said his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, it's like the ancient world just sighed with relief. Finally, a voice we can trust. Finally, someone whose wisdom doesn't shift with the latest trend or political cycle or influencer post. If you read the Gospels, one of the most fascinating things about Jesus is he rarely answered people's surface questions. He went deeper. A man asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Go sell your possessions." A woman says, "Where should we worship?" And Jesus says, "Well, let's talk about living water that won't run dry." The disciples are arguing about who's the greatest, and Jesus pulls a child up onto his lap. He doesn't just give good advice. He gives transformational wisdom. He sees beyond our present problems to what's happening underneath them. It's like living in the Bay Area, like surrounded by, we're surrounded by some of the smartest people on the planet. Like we have PhDs in physics, engineers designing technology that literally changes the world. We have venture capitalists who can model the future. But even with all that brilliance, how many of us still lie awake at night just wondering, am I doing the right thing? Am I living the right way? Am I building something that matters? Am I actually happy? You can have 10 degrees and still not know how to forgive someone. You can build AI that will outthink humanity and still not know how to heal your marriage. That's why we need more than knowledge. We need wisdom. And that's what our wonderful counselor offers. I read a study once that said the average person makes about 35,000 decisions every day. And I thought, that can't be right. I could barely decide where to go to lunch after church. Maybe they're counting how long it takes me to pick something on Netflix or how many times I open the refrigerator and say, no, I don't know. But then it kind of hit me, even small choices, like they accumulate over time. Every click, every conversation, every moment of distraction or discipline, they all steer the course of our lives. And the truth is, most of us are just kind of winging it. That's why we need a counselor whose wisdom doesn't depend on moods or polls or guesswork, a counselor who sees where every path leads before we take the first step. Jesus said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. He's not offering tips on how to live your life. Jesus is offering a foundation. He's saying, build your life on my words, and when the storms come, you'll stand. Because the truth is, every one of us is building on something. We're building on our emotions. We're building on our intellect or our instincts or our friends' opinions or the latest book we read. But there's only one foundation that doesn't crack under pressure, and it's the wisdom of Jesus, our wonderful counselor. And so let me ask you again, where do you go for wisdom? When you're stuck in a decision, like, who do you listen to? When life gets confusing, like, whose voice carries the most weight in your mind and life? Because this Christmas, the invitation is Isaiah's prophecy. It still stands. Come to the wonderful counselor. Sit at his feet. Let his words reframe your life. You know, he's not just wise. He is wisdom. He's not just, you know, pointing the way. He is the way. And so when you trust his counsel, you find what no amount of data or hustle or self-help can give you. It's actually real and lasting peace. One thing that made Jesus so magnetic is that he could look right into a person's soul. I mean, he saw the truth about them and he didn't weaponize it. He told people the truth and he did it in a way that made them want to come closer to him, not run away from him. And that's rare. Most of us know people who are great at truth, but not tenderness, or the other way around. They're great at tenderness, but like they're allergic to the truth. Jesus was both perfectly balanced, wonderfully wise. I mean, we've all met people who are like this, where they use the truth as an excuse to be mean. Truth without tenderness isn't love. It's just noise. And maybe they say, I'm just being honest. But really what they mean is, I just haven't learned how to be empathetic yet. And on the flip side, tenderness without truth isn't love either. It's just sentimentality. It feels good in the moment, but it doesn't heal anything. But when Isaiah called Jesus our wonderful counselor, he's describing someone who embodies both. He's giving you wisdom that cuts through your self-deception. And he delivers it with such grace that you actually accept it. You feel seen. You feel safe. Think about the way Jesus talked with people. To the woman that was caught in adultery, he said, neither do I condemn you. That's tenderness. And then he said, go and sin no more. It's truth. To Peter, after he denied him three times, Jesus didn't lecture him. He just asked him, do you love me? Three times. It's not guilt. He's restoring Peter. To the rich young ruler, he looked at him with love and then told him the one thing that he didn't want to hear. Every conversation Jesus had was perfectly calibrated for the human heart that was in front of him. He never said the wrong thing at the wrong time. I mean, that's what makes him a wonderful counselor. Have you ever gotten bad advice from someone who clearly meant well? Like you're stressed and they say, have you tried not being stressed? Or you're heartbroken and they just say, well, just move on. Or you tell a friend that you're struggling spiritually and they say, well, you should pray more. And you're like, wow, I really never thought about that before. Sometimes people give counsel that's technically true, but it's like emotionally tone deaf. Jesus never did that. When he spoke, his words weren't just right. They were just right for you at that time. When Isaiah called him wonderful counselor, that wasn't a title for a God who sits behind the mahogany desk in heaven handing out advice slips. It's a picture of a savior who enters into our mess. He's a counselor who sits beside you in the car when you don't know where you're headed. He's the one who shows up in the silence after the fight, in the sleepless nights, in the ache of regret. And instead of condemning you, he whispers wisdom and grace. He's not the kind of counselor who just tells you what you should do. He's the kind of counselor who helps you to become the kind of person you were created to be. Maybe you had people in your life who gave you one but not the other. People who told you the truth but made you feel small. Or people who comforted you but never actually challenged you to grow. Well, Jesus gives you both. He'll tell you what you need to hear. And he'll say it in a way that reminds you that you are so deeply loved. He'll never coddle you, but he won't crush you either. It's just the kind of counselor he is. It's the kind of counselor we're starving for in our world. So maybe this Christmas, before we rush through the season, you could just slow down long enough to just ask Jesus, what truth do you need me to hear? What truth do you want to speak into my life right now? And then just listen. Because if you let him, he'll speak in ways that cut through the noise. And you'll discover that his counsel is more than words of advice. It's an invitation to healing. You know, one of the most concerning things about living in this generation is that we've confused information with transformation. We think if we know more, we'll become more. But we all know that that doesn't work. Just because you have a gym membership doesn't mean you're in shape. Just because you download a budgeting app does not mean that you know how to live on a budget. Just because you read the Bible app doesn't mean it's shaping how you live. Information does not change people, but the right voice, the right counselor can. You know, there's a big difference between advice and counsel. Advice says, here's what you should do. Counsel says, here's who you should become. Advice gives you steps. Counsel gives you strength. Advice focuses on behavior. Counsel focuses on the heart. That's why Jesus isn't just a good advice giver. That's why he is the wonderful counselor. He doesn't just give you a to-do list. He gives you new life. And if you trace through the Gospels, every time Jesus spoke, something changed. He told a blind man, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he came back seeing. Told a paralyzed man, get up and walk. And he walked. Told the storm, be still. And the wind obeyed. He told the grieving family, she's not dead, but asleep. And a little girl opened up her eyes. He told sinners, your sins are forgiven. And their souls were washed clean. It's not just advice. It's transformational counsel. When the wonderful counselor speaks, creation responds. I mean, there are broken things that get healed. There are dead things that come alive again. It's wild because we live in a culture that believes we can transform ourselves if we just have the right life hack. You can't scroll through Instagram for 5 minutes without someone telling you like 3 secrets to inner peace or 5 morning habits that'll change your life. And look, I'm not against habits. I love habits. I have apps tracking my habits, probably more than I want to admit. But here's the truth. If all I took was good habits, if all it took was good habits to heal the human soul, we wouldn't need Christmas. We wouldn't need a savior. It's a better calendar app. We don't just need more structure. We need salvation. We don't just need new information. We need transformation. And that's exactly what Jesus came to bring. One of the most beautiful things about the way Jesus works is that he starts on the inside and works his way out. He changes hearts before he changes habits. He restores motives before behavior. He deals with the roots, not the fruit, not just the fruit. You know, you can tell someone to forgive until you're blue in the face, but until Jesus actually heals that bitterness that's inside their heart, forgiveness is impossible. You can tell someone to stop worrying, but until Jesus shows them who's really in control, they'll stay anxious. You can tell someone to love better, but until they've been loved perfectly by Jesus, that love will continue to be limited. The wonderful counselor changes us at the deepest level of who we are. He doesn't just give good advice to change our behavior. So he rewrites everything about who we are. I recently met a man who had been coming to Blue Oaks for months. He was a kind of a quiet guy who's really polite, but he never really opened up. And then one Sunday, after a message about forgiveness, he came up to me with tears in his eyes, and he said, "Matt, I've hated my father for 20 years, and I've tried everything. I've tried therapy, I've tried books, I've tried prayer, nothing worked. But today, for the first time, I actually think I want to forgive him." And that's not just a decision. Like, that's the transformational work of Jesus in a human life. That's the wonderful counselor doing what no human counselor can do, changing the want to inside of a person. We live in a culture obsessed with self-improvement, but allergic to surrender. Like, everyone wants to be their best self, but no one wants to give up control. We love the idea of growth, just as long as I can stay in charge of it. But the kind of change that Jesus comes and brings when we let him is he takes control. He sits in the counselor's chair. It's when we stop editing his advice and stop arguing with his direction, finally just say, "Okay, Jesus, you know what? You lead. You take charge. You be the counselor. I'll follow you." You ever notice how sometimes we go to God for advice and we do the exact opposite? We're like, "God, what should I do with this relationship?" And it's like God is saying, "Walk away." And we're like, "Okay, cool. I think I'll move in instead." Or we ask God, "How do I find peace?" And he says, "Forgive." And you're like, "Okay, well, what's option B?" Like, we don't actually want a counselor. We don't. We want a consultant. We want someone who's going to confirm what we've already decided. But Jesus doesn't play that game. He loves you too much to just agree with you. He wants to transform your life. And sometimes that transformation is painful because it requires honesty. And every great counselor knows you can't heal if you don't face the truth. So when Jesus speaks truth, it may sting a little bit at first, but it's the kind of sting that's good. It's the kind of sting that leads to freedom. The writer of Hebrews puts it like this: "The word of God is alive and active. It judges the thoughts. It judges the attitudes of the heart." That's what Jesus does. He lays bare what's hidden, not to shame you, but to heal you. He doesn't expose the truth to embarrass you. He exposes the truth to restore you. So here's a question for you. Where do you need transformation right now? Not just change. I'm not saying like where do you need to like change something that's in your life? Where do you need the transformational work of our wonderful counselor right now? Not how do I do better? Who is Jesus calling you to become? Maybe it's a relationship that's stuck. Maybe it's a habit that's just like eating away at your life and your peace. Maybe it's a wound that you've been carrying for years. The wonderful counselor isn't intimidated by any of that. He knows exactly what to say. He knows exactly what to do and exactly how to lead you toward wholeness. You know, I've sat with people over the years who've said, "Matt, I just don't know what to do. I don't know where to start." And I want to tell you, that's the best place to start. Because when you reach the end of your own answers, that's when you finally start to listen to his. That's actually when the transformation starts to begin. You see, Jesus doesn't just want to make you a little better. He actually wants to completely change you, make you brand new. Isaiah said his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. And when you let that counselor lead, it doesn't just improve your life. He changes it. He reshapes the whole thing. Turns information into transformation. He turns brokenness into beauty. He turns confusion into clarity. But one of the hardest things about having a wonderful counselor is we rarely sit long enough to listen to him. And it's not that Jesus isn't speaking. It's just that we're not quiet. We're surrounded by constant noise, by notifications and podcasts and news alerts and Slack messages and Siri chiming in with her uninvited advice. Like if Isaiah were writing his prophecy today, he might have said, unto us a child is born, and his name shall be called noise-canceling savior. There was a fascinating study from Harvard that found the average person spends nearly 47% of their waking life thinking about something other than what they're doing. For almost half of our lives, our minds are on something else. We're a distracted people. We're listening to everything except the one voice that can actually give us peace. And it's not just the noise around us, it's the noise within us. It's like the chatter that just won't turn off. Like, what if I fail? What if they don't like me? What if I'm not enough? What if I make the wrong decision? Like, we just keep scrolling and talking and multitasking, hoping that constant motion will drown out the uncertainty inside. But all that noise only keeps us from hearing the wonderful counselor who's trying to speak to us all day long. You know, in 1 Kings 19, the prophet Elijah is running for his life. He's burned out. He's afraid. He's done. And God tells him to stand on the mountain because he's about to pass by. And then the wind tears through the mountains, but God isn't in the wind. And then an earthquake shakes the ground, but God isn't in the earthquake. And then a fire blazes across the hillside, but God isn't in the fire. And then the text says, after the fire came a gentle whisper. And that's where Elijah encountered God. And you know what that tells us? If you want to hear the wonderful counselor, you have to make space for that whisper. He doesn't compete with your calendar. He doesn't shout to you over your Spotify playlist. He speaks softly because he wants us to choose to listen. Have you ever tried to pray and realize your brain is like a browser that has 47 tabs open? Like you start with, dear God, and immediately think like, did I check that email? Did I reply to that? Did I order dog food? Why am I thinking about seventh grade right now? Like it's like spiritual ADD. We expect to hear God clearly in like this 10-second window between texts, but relationships don't work that way. And neither does a relationship with God. Listening takes time and it takes quiet and it takes patience. So how do we do this? How do we listen to the wonderful counselor? I want to give you three things. Create margin for stillness. So as you're just spending the next month, December, just think about this. Create margin for stillness. God said in Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. Stillness isn't laziness. Stillness is attentiveness. It's intentionally stepping out of the noise so that you can actually hear what your soul is trying to say to you. And for some of you, the most spiritual thing you could do this week or this month is just turn off the noise. Turn off the radio in the car. And just sit in silence for 20 minutes on your commute. Just let your heart catch up with your body. Second, let scripture shape your inner dialogue. Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. And the best way to recognize his voice is to actually know what it sounds like. And you learn that by immersing yourself in his word. And it's not a chore. It's like a conversation. Every page of scripture trains your ears to discern the counsel, the wise counsel of Jesus, the way that he comforts, the way that he convicts, the way that he calls, so that when he whispers in your everyday life, you actually know it's him. And then third, invite community into your listening. God rarely speaks in isolation. He often uses wise, spirit-filled people around you to confirm what he's already whispering to you. Sometimes the wonderful counselor speaks through friends who loves you enough to tell you the truth, or a small group conversation that just kind of hits you right between the eyes, or a song lyric that says what your heart couldn't find words for. Listening to Jesus isn't just something we do in a quiet, lonely place. It's a shared experience. Now, I know we live in a place that glorifies busyness. Like in the Bay Area, exhaustion is almost like a badge of honor. If you're not tired, people assume you're not doing enough. But here's the truth. Busyness is an enemy to intimacy. It really is. Busyness is an enemy of intimacy. You can't multitask your way into spiritual depth. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." But we often read that verse like, "Come to me, all you who are weary," after you finish your emails. He says, no, come now. Rest isn't a reward for productivity. It's a posture that leads you to listen to the voice of God. You know, there was a season in my life when I was running on fumes. I was making too many decisions. I had too much responsibility, too little rest in my life. And I remember one night just sitting in my car outside the house, the engine off, lights off, just quiet. And for the first time in who knows how many days, I didn't pray, I didn't plan, I didn't perform. I just sat there. I just sat in the silence and I felt something that I hadn't felt in a really long time. This real peace. Not because anything had changed externally, but because I finally sat still long enough to hear the counselor's voice say to me, "You're not alone in this. I've got this." And that moment didn't fix my circumstances, but it restored me. It restored my soul. And sometimes that's the miracle. Not that God changes your situation, but that he changes you in the middle of your situation. You see, the same voice that spoke galaxies into existence still whispers today. The same voice that calmed the sea can calm your anxious heart. The same voice that called Lazarus up out of the tomb can call you out of your confusion or your guilt or your chaos if you'll make space to listen. He's not silent. He's not silent. He's just waiting for you to be quiet long enough. So maybe this week when you find yourself asking Siri for directions, maybe just let that be a reminder that Jesus is waiting for you to ask him for direction for your life. But unlike Siri, he actually knows where your life is supposed to go. So let me ask you, what would it look like for you to create just a little bit of space for the wonderful counselor this week? Maybe it's just 5 minutes of silence in the morning. Maybe it's going on a walk without AirPods. Maybe it's journaling instead of scrolling. Like whatever it is, the wonderful counselor is speaking. He's not distant. He's near. He's been waiting for you to pause long enough to hear him whisper your name. The prophet Isaiah said, "His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." That's who he is. And not just then, not just for someone else, but for you. He's wise enough to guide your path. He's gentle enough to heal your wounds. He's powerful enough to transform your life. He's close enough to whisper your name. You know, every Christmas, I'm reminded that the story of Jesus didn't begin in a manger. It began in the heart of a God who couldn't bear to stay silent anymore. A God who said, "They lost their way. They're listening to everyone but me." And so he came. Not as a thunderclap, not as a king on a horse, but as a whisper and a baby's cry. The wonderful counselor entered the world wrapped in vulnerability because that's how love always comes, soft and gentle and near. Isaiah said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." That means this isn't just a story from 2,000 years ago. It's personal. Unto us, unto you. And maybe this year, that's what you need to hear most. That the same God who guided prophets and kings still speaks to ordinary people like you and me. He still counsels the confused. He still comforts the broken. He still whispers wisdom into weary hearts. And so before we rush off into the busyness of December, the shopping and the lights and the family gatherings, the travel, would you just stop? Just pause long enough to take a breath and ask, where do I need the wonderful counselor right now? Where am I pretending to have it all together when really I'm not okay? Where do I need to hear his voice more than any other?
Maybe it's in a relationship that's fraying. Maybe it's in a decision that's paralyzing you. Maybe it's in a season of uncertainty and you've been trying to hold it all together on your own. Whatever it is, he already knows. And he's already knocking. You know what? If Jesus were here in the Bay Area right now, I don't think he'd be wearing a robe and sandals. He'd probably be sitting with you over coffee asking, how is your soul? Really? How is your soul? And before you could give your polished answer, he would look into your eyes and he would already know.
And he would say, I'm not going anywhere. That's the wonderful counselor. He's truthful and tender. He's patient. He's kind. He's still knocking on the door of our heart. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them and they with me. Maybe this Christmas season, that's your invitation just to open the door again. Maybe for the first time, maybe for the first time in a long time. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to clean everything up first. You don't have to do anything. You just have to open the door because the counselor won't force his way in. He just waits for you to invite him.
All right, would you bow your heads with me and pray as the worship team comes to lead us in a closing song?
God, we just pause now in this holy moment. We just pause. We pause long enough to hear you whisper to us, to sense this quiet tug of a counselor who still speaks in this world. Some of us are overwhelmed with decisions that we don't know how to make. Some of us are carrying pain that we don't know how to heal. Some of us are running so fast that we don't even realize what we've become, what our souls have become. God, would you just meet us here? Would you be our wonderful counselor? Would you speak wisdom into lives that are confused? Would you bring peace where maybe we feel a little anxious? Would you just remind us that you are not far away today, that you are Emmanuel, you are God with us. God, for the person here who has never opened the door of their life to you, would you just give them the courage to say right now in their heart and in their mind, Jesus, I need you. I want to follow you. Would you be my counselor? Would you be my savior? Would you be my friend? And God, for those of us who've walked with you for years, would you just help us to remember that you speak, that you still guide, that you still transform lives. Would you teach us to just be still long enough so that we could hear your voice? And Jesus, we love you. And we pray all this in your name. Wonderful counselor. Amen. So before we go, I just want to encourage you with something. Just don't let this be another message that you hear and then just kind of move past. Would you just find a quiet moment this week? Find a quiet moment and just actually sit with the wonderful counselor. So no phone, no podcast, no agenda, just you and him. You might be surprised at what you hear, because that same counselor who guided Isaiah, who walked with Peter, who comforted Mary, he's still speaking today. And he will speak to you. Just make space for him. All right, why don't you stand with me and then we'll all sing this last song together.
We hope you found something in this week's message to take away and apply to your life this week. If you live in the Bay Area, we would love to have you join us for one of our weekend services. For directions or information about what we have for you or your family, your students, you can go to blueoaks.church or download the app today. And we hope to see you on Sunday soon.